God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor.
Shall we begin now by talking a wee bit the Father? Io prepare. Blessed are these children who have gathered here before you. Blessed are their hearts and their intent. And we pray you will strengthen them and fill their being with your love and with your gentleness and with your grace. Listen, O Father, when they pray to you, understand them. When they are confused, know them. When they are lost in the tribulations of this earthly life, let them go forward in your peace and love, and let the inspiration of your Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, be ever upon them and within them, and so fulfill their daily life. We ask for this in love and in grace, and we pray you will be in the hearts of Brother John and Sister Wendy, and you will uphold them and love them also, and he bless them for their intent. May the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit rest now and dwell within them, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And so now, we are absent with Brother John. So who will take his place and talk with Marcello?
We haven't discussed any questions or anything to put to you. Can we leave ourselves in your hands for this evening?
See, if this is your wish, I will do this for you. So, let us take Sister Maria, those words you have read, as your lesson for this night. And shall we call it a lesson in service? A lesson in dedication. The dedication of your life to the love and the service of God. And in so doing, you will dedicate your lives, therefore, to love and service to your fellow men. He called his disciples before him, and he named them, and he charged them that they should go hence and fulfill his work. And to do this, and to do it well, they had to have nothing of this material world around them to distort their thinking, to distract their attentions. They had to keep themselves simple as Christ was. He charged them not to have need of riches, nor of wealth, not to be mindful of the clothes upon their back, nor the sandals upon their feet. At this, in this day and age, would be so difficult for you. But let us think again. Let us consider these things he has made. This is a demand. Is he asking you also to go without to have no care of what you eat or drink, or what you wear, or where you will lay your head. No, he's not saying this to you. Concede your dedication to God. Consider how much of your life you will give to him. What is this clothing, this raiment, this garment he's talking of? He was warning his disciples, as Marcello warns you. Do not be as a hypocrite who will stand on a corner of the street trying to make himself heard so that he can be seen of men. Do not dress yourselves in fine raiment so you will stand out in a crowd. Do not live in fine palaces because you believe you are privileged, because you are serving God. No man can serve God and the mammon. This is what he was telling his disciples. Don't be as they are. This is what he told the multitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Why take ye heed of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, verily I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. As he has clothed this, will he not also clothe you, O ye of little faith? What did he mean when he said this to them? Was he saying to them, don't dress in fine clothes and mantles? I will dress you in an aura of love. I will make you shine before men. If you talk quietly and gently with them, if you do not shout and try to make yourselves heard amid great multitudes of people just so you can be seen of them, then I will make your voice heard in the hearts of those who need to hear you most. I will make your words ring in the hearts of the humble and the gentle and the loving and the peace-seeking souls of this earth will rejoice at your presence among them. This is what he was saying to his disciples when he was telling them not to wear these rich clothes, not to consider their wealth, not to consider where they will eat or sleep. Everywhere you will go, you will always find, if you have love to give, then there is always someone who will receive you. There is always someone in this earth of yours who will say, come, lay your head upon my pillow. Rest in my home. Bless my home with your presence. Because they know you love them. They know that you bring the love of God into their homes and into their hearts. They know that you will grace their presence with his being and with the symbolic majesty of Christ because you are being as he is. He was not telling them to go in rags. Was he telling them to be themselves? And I am telling you, be yourselves. Be loving, be gentle. Talk gently and quietly among those you seek to serve and love. Do not seek to make yourself known in high places, for there is no place for the mighty. And did we not speak with you at the last time I spoke, of how it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich and mighty man to walk in the kingdom of heaven. Because he would have to carry his burdens into the house of God. And in the house of God, there is no room for these earthly burdens. There is only room for love, for gentleness, for giving. And if when you come forward and you talk gently with those you love, and you bless those who are sick and suffering, you talk quietly with them and reason with them, are your words not words of God? Are they not words of love and healing and grace? And are you not then being dressed by the Father in an aura of love, radiance and peace? And what man can purchase these things? Where can you go in the marketplace to find them? You will only find them in the love of God. And so it is, he will clothe you. He will feed you. He will tend and care for you. If only you will take his love upon yourselves and remain humble in your love and service to man. Ask nothing of them, only that they believe. Give nothing to them, only your love and the grace of God which is within your hearts. Seek not to mystify the world by laying upon hands and healing in miracles. Love itself is a miracle, and all those things which are attained by and through love is a miracle. So when you love someone and they respond to your love, this is a miracle. Because they come to know you as you are. They come to see you and understand that the Father is within your hearts. When you read this holy book, I have said many times and I will say again and again, do not look upon the surface of its words, but look deeper within them. He will clothe you. He will bless you. He will say you will never want, as long as there is love in your heart, and as long as you can find in your heart the joy and the excitement of giving and watching someone receive of you and wanting nothing in return, only that they will go to God and love him. And in this way they will love you also. And when you talk with them in gentle tones, with gentle truths and easily understood philosophies of life, then you will grow and grow again in knowledge, and your inner vision will be unfolded before you, and you will have the gift of vision, you will have the gift of tongues, you will have the gift of healing, and you will come to know and understand the value of these gifts for what they simply are. They are no mystery, as man will have it. They are a truth. They are the truth that Christ spoke of all his days. From the day he turned to his mama and he said to her, now I must go about in my father's business. And so it was he went hence and taught in the temples. And because he spoke in simple terms, they noted and marveled at his work. And they said among themselves, how could such a child Oneness, oh yeah. Speak with such authority, such conviction, and such truth. All these things he has laid before you. All these things he laid before his disciples. All these things he gave them. He gave them the understanding of it. He gave them a new vision of life. A new conception of being. A new truth. A new philosophy. And it was a loving, gentle, simple, humble philosophy. One which would ensure that they would enter into the kingdom of heaven without fault and in great favor. And did he not say to them also, believe in me, and I shall render unto you the kingdom and the keys to heaven. I say to you now, believe in him. Believe in yourselves. Wear this rich mantle of love he has given you. And you also will be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And you also shall enter in love and grace and in peace, asking nothing of no man, only that they believe. Only that they would love as you have loved. So you see, Sister Marie, these are the things you have just read about, and they are simple things to understand. And yet when a man reads these words, when a greedy man reads them, he will say, oh, I cannot give my clothes away, I cannot walk around in rags, I cannot dare to take the risk of not having somewhere to lay my head, nor to eat. I must have money in my purse in order to buy these things, and then I can do the work of God. But I will say to you, he who has these things seeks only more, and more and more, and his burdens become greater. But he who has none of these things seeks only the love of God, only to be known of him, and he will enter into his joy and into his presence with Christ. Is this clear for you now, Sister Marie? You understand what we are saying to you, all of you?
Yes, thank you, Master.
Does anyone wish to ask a question now?
I have a question on a different subject, also.
See.
Just a quick one.
Please.
Both the instrument and myself have been reading a book about a man who lived some 500 odd years ago by the name of Nostradamus.
Ben.
A very clever doctor.
Ben.
Who made a lot of prophecies. The book leads you to believe that these prophecies were made through spiritual understanding. I'd like to hear what you think of it all.
Nostradamus was truly, as you have said, a gifted man. But he was a man who was gifted only with the gift of words and the gift of reason. Some will take a lot of numbers and figures, and they will reckon with them and jumble them up and do all sorts of things with them, and it makes them become right because that they are clever with them. And there are those who are gifted with the command of words, and they really take these words and they really jumble them up in their thoughts, and they will make them come right. And there are those, Brother Christopher, who will reason with the circumstance and logic and combine them and will jumble them up in their thoughts and again reason with them and make them come right. He was a very gifted man in this sense. And truly, he has predicted and he prophesied many things, because he has reasoned with them in his mind in such a way few others can. But I will say to you this, Brother Christopher. There is not one prophecy which Nostradamus has made which is ordained to the service of man. They have opened the prophecies concerning the outcome of man's behavior, and which will ultimately lead from one thing to another. He has not prophesied in such a way that men will grow with love and with knowledge and with grace. He has played for himself a game which has appealed to the minds of the curious and those who seek to look into the future for some obscure reason or another. And so it is. Nostradamus has satisfied these kind of people in so doing, and he has given them cause to wonder, and in a way to marvel at the accuracy of his prophecies and predictions. But they are only born from his ability to foresee through events and pursuance of events which have led from one vibration and condition into another. There are those who can do this, Brother Christopher. But oh, what a waste. What if this man had he turned all these things and predictions and the prophecies into love and had enhanced the reason of man in the same way that Christ did, in the same way that Mahatma Gandhiji did, in the same way that many other prophets before him have done. Instead of taking this beautiful gift he had and dedicating it to the service of man in order to allow man to grow in enlightenment and in truth and in peace and in love, he has taken his gifts and only used them to enrich man's curiosity about himself and about those things which are to be. But what is this to man, if very often they are within his lifetime and beyond his lifetime, and he will not see the outcome of them in any case. They have served no purpose. And they have served no purpose to Nostradamus also. For enlightened though he is, this is a lesson he is learning at this time. There were others beside him, Brother Christopher, who turned their gifts into knowledge and provided men with the ability to foresee through knowledge, not through curiosity, but through knowledge. They could see into the heavens, and they could reason with figures and numbers, and all other things. They could come to understand the forces of gravity, the forces of time, the evolution of time, and all the time it is. And so, here you have the difference, Brother Christopher, great and wise foreseer though he was. He has not served mankind in the way that the Father would have had this done. He has not served mankind in such a way that mankind can grow in knowledge and in truth, the kind of knowledge which will enhance his growth, only the kind of knowledge which will enhance his curiosity. You understand this, Brother Christopher?
Yes, thank you, Master. Yeah. Can I ask... As he didn't sort of use his gift in the way that the Father would have wanted, and sort of enlightened man's spiritual beliefs rather than what would happen if they weren't so spiritual. Is he in the Father's kingdom now?
See, he abandoned me. He was not an evil man. Please do not misunderstand him. He is in the house of his Father. He was a loving gentleman, and he did love all those things around him, and he loved his life so much so that he delved so deeply. But he mistrod his pathway, and he misunderstood the reason why he was given such a wonderful gift, the gift of a perception and logic and distance of thought. He is here in his Father's house. He is evolving. He is learning the lessons of his folly, as indeed we all have to learn, and we all have to grow again here. We all have occasion to look back in the experiences of our transcendence and see where we have misled ourselves and mistrodden and misunderstood the knowledge which was put before us and the gifts of this knowledge. So we have to strive to correct this and to seek to go on and evolve as we would wish to do so. And in Nostradamus, bless his little heart, is he doing justice and penalty. You understand this, Brother Christy?
I do. Thank you.
He is not an evil man. He was a blessed man in his life.
I didn't mean to imply that.
May not have yet. I know this. I know. But I just wanted to erase it from your thoughts in case.
Thank you very much.
Who else now will talk with myself? Ask me what you will. We will talk of these many things. Your tongue is still so still and frozen, this is the Valerie.
John and I spoke once talking about asking you your opinion on our spirit's teaching on divorce.
This eternal state which man will arrive at, this writing of a divorcement, of a division, of a separating that which was ordained by God at the request of man's own free will. No one has ordered the man to make a vow of marriage. You understand this, Sister Valerie?
Yeah.
This is something of a man's expression of his free will and of a woman also. No one has said, you must write this order of marriage. Again, it's something which was born of a man's own superstition, of man's own humble reasoning in his way. But it was a man's choice to make this decision, that he would come before God, and he would take with him his loved one. And together he and his loved one would say before God, I will receive you into my life until death do us part. Is this not so? God did not say to man, you must say this to me first. Man made this decision for himself. And so he closed the book. And he closed the book on this promise to God and to the Father that he would give his life, both of them would give their lives together for rich or poor, All these things you say in these marriage vows, God did not write these vows. Man wrote them, man made them, and man must keep them before God. I will tell you now, man may recognize the divorcement. The father does not, because he knows, this was a vow made to him, and to him alone, through the free will and free thinking of man. And in so doing he exercised the greatest gift that God gave him, his free will. And he must do this, and honour his pledge, through all time. You may say this is very strong and quite impossible. Is not so, because a man made this choice, and man alone can break it, but he breaks it before God. When we know that there is a vow of a marriage which has turned to tragedy, which was made in a foolish way, where there has been caused through this promise great suffering and strife and torment to either one or the other, or to those of the bambinos born of this marriage, then the Father in his love and mercy will relinquish this vow and will understand. But when a man does this simply for the purpose of lust, there is no forgiveness of God. For man must come to terms with his own weaknesses and with his own failures to keep his promises and his oaths before God. But the father will not have his children suffer. Neither will he have any one of his children live in torment nor in grief. And when he knows that children will suffer because of this foolish promise, made in blindness and without first consideration, and without due thought, then he will not forgive only those who will suffer as a result of this foolishness. He will forgive, and he will suffer the little ones to come unto him. He will care for them and love them, and he will bring about those of his servants here on this earth plane to tend and care for them in their way. Man creates for himself his sister Valerie, such trauma and havoc in his heart, and in so doing allows these things and this travail to enter into the hearts of so many others who are through blood connected with them. And here he will attend the suffering, and here he will attend their needs, but he will not forgive a broken vow. Do you understand this, Sister Valerie?
Yes, I do understand.
Is there anything else you wish to know of this?
No, I don't think so.
When we come before God, with one we have found here on this earth plane, with whom we can share our lives and vow and promise before God that this is an eternal love, born of his love, born of his understanding and grace, and born of our own need to share our life with someone we love and hold so deeply in our hearts. Then surely the Father will bless them and receive unto him this vow and this promise of eternal love, and he will suffer the seed to flourish in that growth and to sow again the seeds of love, and he will bless this marriage, and he will ensure that love walks with them always, because they have it promised before him. They have kept their promise, and they have loved as no others can love. But when the man will come forward to God and say, I promise to take this woman into my life, and to love her and to bless her, and to add all of my things and of my being into her life. And when a woman comes before God and says, I will take this man into my life, and I will love him and bless him and honor him and bear his seed, and shall go forth through my life with him and him alone. And then it turns away, and it breaks this vow, simply through lust, through weakness, through the inability to love as God loved him and her, through the inability to keep a promise to God, then the wrath of God is upon them. When they will make this promise, and the fortunes of the time and the circumstances of life reveal that this should never have been, that there was no reason, no common sense, no logic, and so great suffering ensues, then the Father will understand and forgive. But it is a great and serious decision he will make before he does it, and he is ill-pleased even so. You understand this now, Sister Valerie? Mm-hmm. I have tried to make it as simple as I can. If you make a promise to God, whatever this promise is, then keep it. Keep it. Never break a promise to the Father. Once you have given him your life, once you have given him your word, never withdraw it, for he knows, and he is wrathful then, because this is a foolish thing to do. So please, understand this thing, this writing of a divorcement. I will say to you also, even after death of one or another, the Father will hold a bond of love, just as he will hold a bond for a child or a loved one who is past. Love lingers and remains, because it was a true love, promised to God. And God will ensure this love will grow in this world and in the next. It is a very complex thing that we are talking of, and a very confusing thing also. But when the loved ones depart, their Father knows and understands, and he will compensate in whatever way he can. But when loved ones break a promise to God, there is no compensation, as you call it. There is only an eternal seeking of one's heart and of one's conscience and of one's being. A desperate and eternal struggle to come to terms with a broken vow to God. Have I said enough for you now, Sister Valerie?
Thank you.
Is anyone else who would wish to talk with Marcello on this topic?
It's not that particular topic, Marcello, but something you said in the teaching that you've just given us.
Benemi.
You mentioned the wrath of the Father.
Si.
Yeah, I never thought the Father was a vengeful.
Benemi. The Father will scold you, Brother Christy. The Father will not create any vengefulness or any kind of wrath which will damage the spirit, for he loves all his children. But as any father will, he will scold his children when they are wrong. He will make things known and clear to them that they are wrong, that they have ill-chosen to keep his word, and they have not the dancer. They have not promised in the way that they should promise, in their heart and from their being. They have not given consideration to those things they have said to the Father. They were empty words. And of course the Father, as any father will be angry at this. But please don't consider that because of this he will condemn and turn them to eternal damnation or anything of this kind. But he will certainly make their lives form a pattern by which they shall learn from their errors and from the errors of their wives. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, Christopher?
Yes, thank you, Master. Yes.
He will punish them not with pain or fear. He will punish them with circumstance so that they will have just cause to look again into their lives and think again before they make such stupid mistakes again and empty promises to their Father. It is make you content now.
Yes, thank you, Master.
See. Let us turn to happier things. Sister Jacqueline, will you take this holy book and open it at any page you wish, point your finger, and we will talk on this subject. Don't you search for it?
No, it's just that she hasn't got her glasses on, so I will read it for her. It comes from Chronicles chapter 4. Do you want me to read half a dozen paragraphs?
Tell me which you want to read, Sister Jacqueline. Put your
feet. It's just the first verse, I think.
Moreover, he made an altar of brass,
si.
20 cubits the length thereof,
Mangiare,
and 20 cubits the breadth thereof,
si.
And 10 cubits the height thereof.
Ganante, sono te.
It's referring to the altar of brass, I believe.
And what good did he do him?
Well, it's tomare, he also made a molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim.
Right. What he waste away for. Yeah, you see, he's good fun, is he not? See.
This was a man in the days of King Solomon, who was making these things for King Solomon, supposedly in the house of God, to wit, two pillars, etc., and a brass altar.
And it all fell down in the end. Where is it now?
It was considered to be a most holy place. The doors of the house of the temple were of gold, and it was a very lavish place. King Solomon had built this for the Lord, as it were, and for all the Levites and different people who came out of Egypt to worship him, and so that the priests could stand to minister to them for the glory of the Lord. This is from the Old Testament.
What have we been talking about? What have we been saying about all these wealth, all these riches, and all these finery? And where are these ones now? Where is the King Solomon now? I have never met him.
Hopefully he is in the house of the Father.
Bella Maria. See, he loved his God. He loves his God. But the Father knows also that in order for King Solomon to have all these riches, and in order for all those who served and sought to please King Solomon and to build these great temples to the Lord, did so at the cost of so many sufferings, the sufferings of thousands who had to turn this from the soil, who had to build and create it. And the Father wants no things of this. He wants nothing in his kingdom which was the bone of the suffering of his children here on this earth. And did he not try to make this clear to man through his son Moses? Look what happened when the children of Israel built this golden calf, was destroyed. The father wants nothing of this. He wants nothing of these riches in his kingdom. The only riches he wants in his kingdom is the richness he finds in the temples of your heart. Build for him in your heart a temple of golden love. Lay before him the jewels of your giving and being, the jewels of your peace, the jewels of your humility and grace, and let them gleam before him. And he will receive them, and he will praise your name. He will love you and glorify you. He will take you into his care and his keeping. But you think because man here on earth has a temple of gold, all these wealth, all these fine riches and raiments, fine linens and jewels, that he will hear this man's prayers that much more clearly. He will only turn away in sadness, because here is a man who has failed to understand that God loves only those who love him through humility and grace, who loves him not by inflicting suffering on others that they may be seen and heard, but who loves him because they want to see their fellow man grow. He loves them because they are without these great jewels and things. He loves them for their worth. Every laborer of God is worthy of his meat. Everyone who comes to him and he says, Father, I have given my life to you and to my fellow beings, and I leave nothing of this world behind, only the love you gave me to give, then he will receive you. Then he will know you for what you are. Then he will say to you, well done. Well done, my true and faithful servant. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. So, Sister Jacqueline, do you now understand the Old Testament?
Yes.
Ben, see.
Well, actually, that was quite well picked, wasn't it?
Ben, the Marinotti. Some relevant. We know you would pick something which is real and good. This is a way which I'll see you. And now, one more. Sister Beryl, will you choose one for Marcello? I love this little game we play. Yeah.
Sorry, Marcello, I haven't any glasses either. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment.
And is this not what I have just said to you?
That's right.
Has this not explained everything I have said concerning this one which Sister Jacqueline has read? These are what we call the pearls of wisdom. Those little emissaries of truth. When you will flip through this book of truth and take from it the lessons which they contain, the way they are meant. Surely it is said, many will not listen or read of this Old Testament because of its wrath and of its anger towards men and among men. But as I have just demonstrated to you, there is in many truths in the foolishness of men, because they will always reveal the truth of perfection, as a comparison to what you have read. You understand this? The sword of God shall truly fall. But let us not consider it to be a sword which is about to cleave a man in two, or to be thrust through him as a weapon of destruction. It is a weapon, I know. And the only destruction it will create is its destruction of foolishness, destruction of misconception of what is truly written in this holy book. Does this make you content now? And can you go your way now? For these passing weeks, when you will rest from your labours, and consider those things we have spoken of, and realize the jewel that it was that Sister Maria chose to read. One simple text explaining for you all those other texts written so many years before in the Old Testament. And so it is. Listen to your heart. Be humble before God, and he will receive you into his kingdom. And truly, you will reap your reward in heaven. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, my children.
God bless you, sisters.
Go forward now. Receive into your hearts all those things spoken of Brother Marcello. For it was charged upon him that he may speak on these things this night concerning your spiritual status and your growth. And it was charged upon Sister Mary that she should bring forth these words, that you may come to know and understand them. And that Sister Jacqueline, Sister Beryl, should bring forth the ultimate proof of these words through those things thou chose from thy holy book. All these things, therefore, were ordained of God. You may receive into your hearts his peace and wisdom, and you may truly show forth your light, and go from strength to strength, knowing that the love of our Lord Jesus Christ is upon you and within you. Receive unto yourselves, therefore, the bread of heaven, and the wine of his cup. Allow it to flow within you, and to fill you, and to feed you henceforth for your daily lives. Let us now talk with the Father. O Lord, from all from whom all mercies and blessings flow, who art the light of this world, lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and through thy great love and mercy, defend us, keep us and protect us throughout our daily life. May the words of thy passing sons before us fall upon us in wisdom and in truth. And may the love of thy saints and the adoration of thy spirits dwell in the hearts of these thy children, enhancing their growth, enriching their being and heightening their presence in thy presence, O Lord. And may thy peace dwell within their hearts and in their minds, and so fulfill their lives in thee, O God. Bless, we beseech thee, O Father, those of thy children who seek through love to serve, in humility and grace. Lighten their darkness, O Lord, and lighten their way, for their way be a narrow way. Tend them, O Father, keep them in thy care. Hold them within thy peace, and warm them to thy breath. Let the words of these thy children, Father, grow from the words of thy servant, Matthew. For it is in thy name that he comes, and it is in thy name that he preaches unto them, and gives unto them the understanding of thy peace, and of thy wisdom, and of thy truth, and of the truth of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let these things be written forever in their hearts, O Father, that they may grow in thy love and in thy peace. Be forever with them, and dwell and reign among them, from this time forward and even forevermore. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his light to shine upon you. And may the Lord dwell in your house and in your heart and in your understanding. To the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and through the order of thy Holy Spirit, here in thy realms of light. May your peace be in their hearts, and may you be in theirs, and may love, therefore, be eternal, O Lord, with these thy children, from this day forward, and even forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace and love, my children.
In due business.
Dwell within the Father, and the Father in you. God bless you.